Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
From January onwards, you may notice an increase in birds visiting gardens. So what are the species to watch out for, and can you keep some of the birds nourished during the increasingly cold winter months? Well, joining me to discuss this is Brian Burke, coordinator of the Irish Garden Bird Survey from Birdwatch Ireland. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are things?
Yeah, good, thanks. But can you tell us, first of all, why there's an increase in birds visiting back gardens just around this time of the year?
Yes, so Birdwatch Ireland have been running the Irish Garden Bird Survey for 36 years now, so we have a really long-term data set, and we get people to tell us what birds are visiting their garden from start of December to the end of February. And we always see, very consistently, even in the mildest of years, you have kind of a certain amount of species that are, you know, quite common in gardens, and they'll be there right through December. But in January and right into February, you see pretty much every species increasing quite a lot into January and right into February. And some people will even get peaks in March when the survey finishes. And that's essentially because we're coming into what's called the hungry gap. So the hungry gap is essentially the fact that all of those natural foods that the birds take advantage of in the countryside, there's a big abundance of that in autumn, and it starts to peter out into the winter. And once you get to January, and especially into February, essentially that's all gone. So you're talking about all your nuts, your seeds, your berries, your fruits, and even your insects with the colder weather too. So all of that is running really, really low, and birds become a bit more desperate, and they have to search a bit further for food. And if you've got some feeders up in your garden, or you've thrown some stuff out in the lawn, the birds are going to come to your garden. They're going to stay in your garden.
Okay. Otherwise, would they be reliant on whatever fat reserves they have?
Yeah, to some extent. Or essentially, they just have to work a lot harder to find the food. And, you know, mortality of birds is kind of highest at this time of year because it's kind of make or break, essentially. But by putting food in your garden, you're saving those blue tits or robins or goldfinches or blackbirds from having to go up and down every hedgerow around the place in search of kind of little morsels of food. You're making it very easy for them. They don't have to waste that energy. They can hop into your garden, get some food, go off for a bit of a rest and keep coming back. And you're just making it very, very easy for them. And, you know, especially with this kind of cold spell coming up, that could be the difference between life or death for them.
Okay, well, you mentioned a couple of different types of birds there. So talk us through the common species people who are looking out into their back gardens might see. Tell us about, first of all, the redpoll.
Redpoll, yes. So redpoll is one of our smallest species of finch. Most people won't have seen them in their garden yet, but they're a species that every single January we see a big, big increase because they, along with siskins, which are another small species of finch, very similar species, they feed on tree seeds. And there's usually plenty of them to go around right into December. So they're eating, you know, pine cones and the seeds from alder and birch and trees like that. But that kind of runs to zero around this time of year, and they start coming in. And they can come in sometimes in ones and twos. They might kind of be mixed in with your other finches, your goldfinches and your greenfinches. And sometimes they come in absolutely huge flocks. It could be 10, 20, 30 of them. So the redpoll is a small little finch, mostly brown, but the males have a lovely big blotch of red on their forehead. Siskin is small. They're yellow and black. Now, these two finches are about the size of a blue tit, so they are one of the smallest garden birds you're going to see. They're much smaller than the other finches, the chaffinch, the goldfinch, the greenfinch. They're about half the size of those birds.
All right. And do they get on, birds in the back garden?
Yeah, they do.
Given that they're in competition for the same food, does it lead to squabbles?
Yeah, it does. There's a bit of a dominance hierarchy. So there's been studies done that will show the likes of house sparrow and greenfinch. So even though they kind of look, they all look, you know, more or less a similar size to a lot of the other birds, they're a bit heavier, a bit more bulky, and they will tend to bully the other birds a little bit. And the smaller birds, what you'll see is if you're getting a lot of someone who's a lot of house sparrows in their garden, for example, might see that the coal tits and the blue tits and the redpolls and siskins, they might fly in, grab a bit of food and fly away very quickly. And they'll just eat that in the comfort of the hedge where they're not going to be harassed by any of the bigger birds. Whereas, you know, in the absence of those bigger bully birds, you know, those smaller birds will spend a bit more time hanging out on your bird feeder and maybe having, you know, a couple of bits to eat before they fly off. So there is a bit of squabbling. There's definitely a bit of a dominance hierarchy. It doesn't tend to have a big impact because it just, what the smaller birds do is change their behaviour to adapt to that.
Okay. The siskin, just before we move on to other birds, what are the identifying marks there?
Yeah, so they're very, very small, and they're yellow and black. The males are a bit more obvious than the females, so the males have a black cap, and they're more of a striking yellow, whereas the females are a bit more duller coloured and a bit more streaky, but they're that yellow and black colour as well. And one of the interesting things they do, the siskin do it, redpoll do it to some extent as well, is if you have a peanut feeder, for example, sometimes they grab onto the side of it, but actually they're upside down, so their head is on the bottom and they're kind of their tail is pointing upwards, and they're so small, they're used to hanging from the very tips of branches of different trees. So sometimes someone will get in contact with us and say, I saw a small bird and it seemed to be kind of standing upside down almost on the bird feeder, and we'll be able to say, yeah, pretty much guaranteed that's a siskin.
All right, most people would be familiar with the robin. It's supposed to be, by reputation anyway, quite an aggressive bird. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So even in the winter, so most birds are territorial and aggressive a little bit in the summer months when they're trying to protect a territory or guard a mate or something like that. Robins are territorial the whole year round. You know, they're really, really aggressive. And actually this time of year, so most people will have seen one or two robins maybe in their garden in the last couple of weeks. But as we start, the days get a bit longer, we start getting into spring, you might see a third and a fourth robin. But what you're going to see is the first and second robin are going to be chasing the third and fourth one pretty aggressively, you know. So if you see a couple of birds zipping across your back garden, you know, over and back, good chance it's kind of robins wrestling with each other.
Okay, and blackbirds, they're from the thrush family. You don't see as many song thrushes this weather. Why is that?
Song thrushes have undergone a bit of a decline for sure, and that like this cold weather now is quite likely to hit them hard. If we've a few days of cold weather, just because they're so reliant on invertebrates and stuff like that at ground level, once the ground freezes over, they're one species that we see really get knocked back in terms of numbers. Sometimes it takes them years to recover, you know, after a really, really cold spell. So we saw that after the Beast from the East, for example, and the cold winters of 2010, 2011, where song thrushes, you know, people might see them in their garden next week, but that's kind of a sign that they're under a lot of pressure. And depending on how this cold spell goes, you know, we might see a decline in the summer.
Okay. You said there, you know, some birds will nip in and out. Other birds are obviously bigger and more confident and are able to fend for themselves when it comes to getting at the nut feeder and all of the other things. So in terms of laying out your garden to help as many different types of birds as possible, how would you recommend spreading the food out, and what kind of food would you be talking about?
The two types of food as kind of a basic, just to kind of cover as many species as possible, I always recommend are peanuts, number one, and sunflower seeds, number two. And the vast majority of the small songbirds absolutely love those two. And if that's all you put out, you're catering for, you know, a huge, huge audience there in terms of the birds that'll visit your garden. In terms of kind of spreading things out, you know, it's better to have two half full feeders than one full feeder, because you're not having those squabbles and those arguments. You know, they're not all queuing up to get to the same spot. You know, that you're giving the smaller birds options. So spread your feeders around the garden. You know, if you have some extra feeders in the shed, put a little bit in all of them rather than just having a couple of feeders out. You know, things like this time of year, chopped apples. If you get some cheap apples in the supermarket, dice them up and throw them on the lawn. Your blackbirds, your song thrushes and your redwings and stuff like that will all absolutely love that. And that's it, really. It's try and provide a diversity of food and a diversity of feeders as well in a few different locations in your garden, and you'll be doing the best you possibly can for those birds.
And in terms of bird safety, if you want to keep them safe from cats, are you throwing things on the ground or are you putting it up at a bit of a height if you can?
Yeah, certainly a height if you can. So the likes of blackbirds and thrushes aren't going to grip onto feeders. But if you have a flat wall that you can put the food on top of, or a shed roof or something like that, that's a height off the ground, that'll definitely help. Otherwise, maybe throw it in the middle of the lawn so it's not beside hedges, maybe where the cats might be hiding and stuff like that as well.
All right. What about those other creatures that people might be nervous about, other kinds of rodents, rats and mice? People may be reluctant to throw out seeds and nuts and the likes in case they attract something a bit more than the birds.
Yes, and listen, that's definitely a risk. And we know those kind of animals are kind of, they're everywhere anyway, and you kind of want to keep them as far away from the house as you possibly can. But that thing of, as well, putting the food up at a height, if you can put up on a wall or a shed roof or something like that, those rodents aren't going to get near it. If you put, half fill your feeders and let them go empty by the end of the day and top them up again that evening or the next morning, it just means there isn't that extra stuff to be spilling out overnight or in the mornings, and the rodents aren't going to be as attracted to it, you know. So you're kind of balancing out, you're feeding the birds but not feeding the rodents as well.
And in terms of bird tables and feeders, and if people are putting out a drink for the birds, there is a bit of maintenance if you want to keep things hygienic and avoid the spread of diseases between among birds. What would you recommend on that front?
Yeah, like it's a bit of a chore, but it's quite simple, really. And it's try and clean them once a week, if you can. Bring them in, bit of a mild bleach, a capful of bleach in a sink, or just one of those kitchen sprays with a bit of bleach in it. Give them a good clean, a good rinse, let them dry out, and hang them out again. It's good to have kind of extra feeders, and you can kind of be washing some while other ones are hanging out and put them on rotation every week. But there are diseases. There's kind of bacteria, obviously, in the bird's droppings. There's a parasite that has kind of evolved in recent years and has impacted the finches in particular. And we've seen greenfinch numbers are half what they were about 15 years ago. And that's just because of a very specific parasite that has evolved and is really, really hitting them. So obviously, if you're putting out feeders, you want to be looking after the birds. You don't want to be doing them any harm. But there is a bit of an obligation on all of us to make sure we're cleaning the feeders on a regular basis. And unfortunately, if you do see a sick bird in your garden, very puffed up, maybe with food stuck to its bill, that's a sick bird. And what you're going to have to do is take in your feeders for about 2 weeks and stop feeding. And that will just mean that the other birds in the flock have a chance to disperse around the countryside, essentially. And then they're going to hopefully leave that sick bird behind. And that's very unfortunate and very tragic for that sick bird. But, you want as many birds to survive as possible. So
should people report sick birds?
So if they're doing the garden bird survey, there is you can report any sick birds you see there. Otherwise, if you see a sick bird in your garden, like a finch species, there's no need to report it because this parasitic disease now is so widespread, we kind of assume that it's everywhere.
Okay,
but if you're doing the garden bird survey, please do log it.
Yeah, so tell us about the garden bird survey. If people have birds landing in the garden, what kind of information do you want? Do they need to be able to identify them by sight, or should they take photos? What kind of things are you looking for, and where can they access it?
Yeah, so if they go to birdwatchireland.ie, or if you scroll down through our Facebook or Twitter feeds, you'll find all the links there. The survey has been running now for a few weeks, but there's still plenty of time to take part. And essentially, we just ask you, what are the species you're seeing in your back garden or in your front garden each week? And you start fresh the next week, and it's the highest number of each species. All the rules are kind of explained on the form. It's one number per species per week. Most people can identify more garden birds than they think, but if they are getting stuck, take a photo or try and get a description of it and give us a shout, on whether it's social media or email or anything like that. We'll happily help you identify it as well. But, it's a very simple survey to take part in if you're the type of person who's staring out your kitchen window a little bit every week. And it provides really, really useful information for us, trying to monitor these species and how they're doing. It's important to monitor rare species. And, we have a lot of conservation projects for waders and for seabirds and all these red listed species you'll hear of, but it's equally important to monitor the common species because they tell you about the kind of the general health of the countryside as well. So it's really, really easy, really, really important. So if people go on our website, birdwatchireland.ie, they'll find all the details there.
Right, so that's something for the kids to do maybe if they're bored with the Christmas presents, heaven forfend.
Yeah, listen, kids, adults, absolutely everyone. There's plenty of people who, they start doing it themselves and before long everyone in the house is getting involved and it becomes kind of a winter tradition, So absolutely, that's a great one to do.
Okay, Brian Burke, coordinator of the Irish Garden Bird Survey for Birdwatch Ireland. Thanks very much for joining us.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.